There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
High-ranking members of the U.S. Congress are pressuring the Obama administration to move quickly to Plan B in Syria to directly confront the Russians. The Obama-Clinton-Kerry misadventure in Syria is a disaster. Obama's plan to collapse the Assad government in Damascus is in disarray. Syria has been destroyed by Obama's war. Millions of people have fled. The refugee crisis is the worst since World War II. Obama, Clinton, and Kerry have armed and trained the most ruthless army of murderous thugs since Genghis Khan's genocidal rampage or the Vikings' berserkers. Obama's ruthless Islamic army, armed with American-made weapons and rockets, have unleashed mayhem in Iraq, Syria, Libya, and other parts of the Middle East. Obama was ordered by his Illuminati masters to depose Syrian President Assad and install a U.S. puppet government that would permit the ruling elite to build a pipeline across Syria. Assad didn't tuck his tail between his legs and flee. Instead, he fought for his country. The U.S. and NATO threatened to attack Syria in 2013, but Russia's Vladimir Putin drew a line in the sand and dared Obama to cross it. Obama backed down and moved the action to the Eastern European theater. The U.S. sent instigators into Kiev, Ukraine, and stirred up a political revolution led by Nazis and fascists that toppled the elected Ukrainian government. The U.S. installed a puppet government led by a prime minister beholden to George Soros, who is also a high-ranking member of the Church of Scientology. The new Ukrainian government is controlled by men and women who openly declare themselves to be Nazis and fascists. Joe Biden's son snagged a lucrative job with an energy company in Ukraine. Unmarked transport planes were seen being loaded with the gold from Ukraine's central bank. Nobody knows where the gold was taken. Obama's handlers wanted to send a message to Putin that the fight had moved to another parking lot. Instead of Syria, it was Ukraine. Ukraine, however, shares a border with Russia. Obama's Illuminati masters were telling Putin they were willing to fight on Putin's doorstep. Ethnic Russians living in Ukraine refused to accept the new fascist government. Conflict broke out in southern Ukraine between Ukrainian Russians and the new government in power in Kiev. Furthermore, the citizens of Crimea overwhelmingly voted to leave Ukraine and join the Russian Federation. Putin started building up military forces along the Russian border with Ukraine. U.S. propaganda news outlets accused him of preparing to invade Ukraine. The truth is, Mr. Putin was bracing for a U.S.-NATO invasion of Russia. Over in the Middle East, the U.S. shipped massive amounts of weapons to Saudi Arabia and Turkey to smuggle into Syria for ISIS to fight the Assad government. Putin countered the arming of ISIS by sending in the Russian Air Force to bomb ISIS strongholds. Throughout 2016, the U.S. position in Syria continued to weaken as Russian warplanes obliterated the U.S.-backed Islamic jihadists. In the USA, there was no outrage that Obama was openly arming ISIS. Instead, politicians such as John McCain demanded that Obama do more to arm the so-called rebels who were being bombed by the Russian Air Force. A fierce battle has been waged for months in Aleppo, the Christian capital of Syria. Most of the city is in ruins as the Russian Air Force and the Syrian army hunt down America's jihadists that seized the city. The never-ceasing Russian bombing has severely damaged John McCain's heroes, his Islamic warriors, who have crucified Christians and burned churches. McCain is now demanding that Obama give the Muslim murderers a supply of dangerous man pads. Man pads are shoulder-fired anti-aircraft missiles that would be used to shoot down Russian warplanes. McCain is insane. His bloodlust could start a nuclear war. McCain is not the only person in Washington in need of a straitjacket. Numerous members of the House and Senate want a so-called Plan B to confront the Russians in Syria. Some war hawks want a NATO-imposed no-fly zone over Syria. General Joseph Dunford Jr., chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, recently told members of a U.S. Senate committee that a no-fly zone means declaring war on Russia. Supporters of the plan, however, are confident that Russia would not dare challenge a U.S.-NATO no-fly zone. Another crazy idea floating around in Washington is to bomb Syrian Air Force bases. A U.S. attack on the bases and Syrian aircraft would ground the Syrian Air Force and make it impossible for them to bomb the jihadists. It would be, however, an act of war against Syria, which happens to be a Russian ally. What happens if the U.S. bombs the Syrian military bases? Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova said it would lead to, quote, terrible tectonic consequences, end of quote. Relations between America and Russia deteriorated today when Russia suspended an agreement with the United States on the disposal of surplus weapons-grade plutonium, and the U.S. suspended diplomatic negotiations with Russia regarding the crisis in Syria. Moscow decided to suspend the plutonium management and disposition agreement with the United States as a forced measure, according to Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. The Russian Foreign Ministry said, quote, the Obama administration did everything to destroy the atmosphere of trust which could foster bilateral cooperation, end of quote. This leads me to the most alarming news I could deliver to the True News audience. Last Friday, I reported that Russia announced that there are now enough underground shelters in Moscow to hold the entire population of the city. Today, we learned that the Russian Emergency Ministry, that's the equivalent of their FEMA, will manage a massive civil defense drill from October 4th through October 7. More than 40 million Russians and more than 200,000 rescue and recovery specialists and 50,000 units of equipment will be involved in the drill this week. In other words, Russia is conducting a massive nuclear war drill this week that involves 40 million citizens going into underground bunkers. Doc Burkhart, Edward Zoll, Yord Hernandez are here with me. This is probably the most sobering news I have reported in 18 years. This is it, folks. This is it. I've been warning for 18 years we're going into a nuclear war with Russia. We have now reached this stage where the Russians are holding massive drills, 40 million citizens this week, starting tomorrow.
That's five New York cities.
Doc, it's incomprehensible.
Yeah.
This isn't just a Homeland Security media campaign, stock up on beans. This is telling 40 million citizens when you hear the sirens go into the bunkers.
Right.
The Russian government is taking those threats they received over the last couple weeks deadly serious. They're taking this seriously.
Let's repeat the threats because we talked about them last week. Let's remind our audience what John Kirby at the U.S. State Department said to the Russians.
They would be going home in body bags?
The soldiers would go home in body bags.
Russian cities would come under attack?
From terrorists. Russian interests would be attacked by terrorists. We said last week, John Kirby, the State Department, threatened Russia.
It's Chicago politics on a global scale.
You got it, Doc. The Chicago mafia mobster in the White House threatened Russia and said, you keep opposing me and your soldiers are going to go home in body bags. And my terrorists that we arm are going to target Russian cities like Moscow and St. Petersburg. I saw another story, Edward, today on a Russian news site that said that Putin had commanded government officials to ensure the safety of the Russian water supplies. Now, when I read the article, there was nothing in it that indicated this was related to terrorism. It was simply like a memo saying, you know, as president of Russia, I'm instructing everybody involved in government to make sure that our people have water. But if you think about what was said last week, and I also reported last week that the Russians said that they found a ISIS manual that taught Muslims how to manufacture poisons at home to put into the water supplies of cities. I think you put those two together. John Kirby's threat. The Muslims may attack Russian cities. And then the Russians saying they have a manual. They found a manual from an ISIS place that where they had captured in Syria that was instructing jihadists how to poison city water supplies.
Right.
And then it makes sense why Putin is putting out this order today.
Oh, absolutely. This is asymmetric warfare at its core. I mean, going back to the medieval era, poisoning water and food is a paramount way to undermine a country and also any city population or base. This is definitely feasible, and it looks like Putin is preparing his people.
How big of an operation is it when, as you said, five New York cities?
Yes.
Five New York cities are going to go into bunkers this week, starting tomorrow. They're not staying there, folks. This is a drill. When you hear the sirens, go into the underground bunkers.
When's the last time the United States even had a drill?
When is the last time you could find a bunker?
Yes, that's right.
Do you know where your local bunker is located? I don't know. If there was a nuclear attack here, where would you go, Doc?
You know, I think the best comparison for this may be the Battle of London during World War II. That was probably the last time in my mind I can think of a large city in Western civilization that actually had to run to shelters and run citywide drills.
That's right. The American people have no place to go. There would be mass hysteria in this country. Total pandemonium.
You've got to hand it to the Russians hanging on to the Soviet era bunkers and everything that they built over the last 70, 80 years, you know, in preparation for a potential nuclear attack. I don't think they ever imagined it would be in defense of their nation like it appears to be right now. For the United States to come out, from a spokesman for the State Department, the arm of diplomacy for our nation to come out and say, you know, Russians are going to go home in body bags. Terrorists are going to hit Russian cities. Terrorists are going to hit Russian interest around the world. I mean, the State Department? Really?
Doc, I can recall back as far, you know, I know 8 to 10 years ago, I was reporting on this program about a Russian program to build bunkers. They announced this over at least 10 years ago, that the Russian government was going to build nuclear bunkers in all the cities of the country. And somewhere, Doc, in our archives, we could find a true news program of me talking about it. I think the Russians saw this coming. I think they saw it when the U.S. started the war. I think they saw it right after the attack on 9/11. And they saw the plan go into operation. And I think that they began to realize something huge is taking place. And this is going to end up on our doorstep. This this war machine is going to eat its way through the Middle East and eventually arrive in Moscow. And I think they've been preparing for this day that they would have, they would be the last country that would come under attack by this war machine.
You know, when you speak like that, it just comes to my mind the flagrant hypocrisy in regard to how Russia is characterized. You know, Russia is a country that's banned pornography. They've banned, you know, they're working toward banning genetically modified food.
They banned homosexual parades. Moscow, you can't have a homosexual parade there for 100 years.
They're making a major shift back to Orthodox Christianity. They're leading the fight against actual terrorists in the Middle East. In a lot of ways, this they get characterized as a barbaristic state. Russia is acting sane.
And the U.S. is insane right now.
Yes.
America is under the spell of madmen. Doc, I think, you know, when this program's over, we should go online to eBay and buy all of the straitjackets that are available and ship them to Washington. These people need to be in straitjackets.
Yeah, because they're taking us into World War III.
There may be nothing after World War III. I mean, we don't know what the aftermath of a nuclear war looks like. Was it Einstein that said World War IV would be fought with
sticks and rocks? Yeah.
It is alarming, and very few people know what we just discussed. Very few people in this country know what we just discussed. That Russia is having a nationwide nuclear war drill starting tomorrow. And what's on the front pages of America's newspapers? Kardashians. What are they talking about? Donald Trump's taxes. Those are the big issues in America. Not that you have a madman in the White House. Not that you have a bloodthirsty war machine that's in control of our government. I'm not talking about our troops. I'm talking about the civilian, talking about the billionaires that own the war machine. I'm not talking about the Defense Department. I'm not talking about our troops. I'm talking about the people who get rich through war.
They're having their own war referendum right now.
They're insane. What do you mean, Edward?
While we're having an election, you know, everyone in the public is looking to who's going to rule us. The elite have resigned from seemingly caring about this election. They may think they might have lost this. So they've started their own, you know, this is a long coming now, but their own push toward a war.
I'm very concerned that they are so worried about losing the election that they would start a war with Russia before November.
That is a real possibility.
It's more of a possibility than I want to even think about.
We know that they're desperate. I mean, when you hear the Democrats, they're registering dead people and dogs to vote, and then accusing the Russians of trying to hack the system. And I say, where's the evidence of that? I mean, if there's evidence of that, where is it? Where is the evidence of that? They just want a war so bad with Russia, and so they'll blame the Russians for everything, including hacking the electoral system.
Did any of you see the story that was in the Sunday Times in London that the Pentagon paid a propaganda company in London $500 million to make fake Al-Qaeda videos?
Now, this was in the London Times.
Yes. $500 million, Doc, to produce fake Al-Qaeda videos. Is there anything that we see on CNN, Fox News, anything that we read in the New York Times, the LA Times, the Washington Post? Is there anything that's real? Or is it all a lie? Is everything fake? Are we in a matrix already?
Yes.
I really believe we are. We're in a matrix. We are living in a fake reality that has been created by Langley, the CIA, and by billionaires who are in control of this war machine. They're controlling the thinking of hundreds of millions of people. Why would the Pentagon make fake Al-Qaeda videos? I mean, the article says that they wanted to track the people who watch them.
Oh, wow.
Would that explain why the ISIS beheading videos were found on John McCain's home computer? That story didn't get any traction, did it? Some hackers got into John McCain's computer, discovered he had fake beheading videos on his computer. And when I say fake, he had raw videos of videos being produced in a studio.
With a green screen.
With a green screen and with ISIS beheaders with their hoods and the captives with their orange jumpsuits. This was on John McCain's computer.
I wouldn't be surprised, as this investigation continues, that we don't find John Sundberg McCain's fingerprints, possibly on the negotiation for this firm.
Maybe the funding? You know, somebody in Washington knew about the funding. Somebody had to appropriate $500 million for the Pentagon to do this.
Right.
Hey, one other hot spot right now. The U.S. Navy dispatched 3 warships near the southern coast of Yemen to challenge Iran. Iran-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen claimed responsibility for the attack that nearly sank a United Arab Emirates auxiliary ship on Saturday. So that's another proxy war that's going on. Saudi Arabia and Iran are fighting each other in Yemen.
Right.
But the U.S. is there backing up Saudi Arabia.
That's the JV team there. So.
But it's yet another example of the U.S. completely on the wrong side of what direction the Eurasian Alliance is going. You know, on an economic side of this, I found a story today that Germany was moving to generate about $2.5 billion worth of business with Iran.
Right.
Bringing in about, you know, Siemens, their top companies, their industrial powerhouses are moving into Iran. They signed a deal to redo their rail system, redo bricklaying plants, literally refit the entire Iranian economy, production side.
Would that explain why? No, why is the U.S. waging economic war in Germany? We said this last week about Deutsche Bank.
Well,
with the fine, you know, the $14 billion fine.
The German official, German bankers are saying this too.
That's what I mean, Doc. They're now openly saying today, we're saying last week. This looks like an economic attack on Germany. Does it have anything to do with what you just said, Edward?
I do think so. I think the madmen in Washington think possibly if they pull the lever out from under Deutsche Bank, capital will flow back into the United States. This is a form of, it's a physical injection of QE. You get capital fleeing a collapsing market in Europe, though the U.S. market will still feel the pain. In their eyes, they're getting an infusion.
That part I see, but I'm trying to connect it with Iran, with the Germans and the Iranians working together. I mean, Obama sent plane loads of cash and gold to Iran. None of this makes sense. The plan is so strange and so weird. Whatever this plan that they're working, it's so bizarre. Who in their right mind would send cargo planes loaded with cash and gold to Iran?
This administration.
But why? Why? What is the end result?
I think it goes back to what you already mentioned at the beginning of the show about how, you know, these Chicago politicians, they act like a mafia. And the mafia has never had to deal with people who own nuclear weapons or militaries.
But what do we get out of it? What are we getting out of this operation with Iran? I don't see the payoff. None of this makes sense. And then we're sending in warships to threaten Iran.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. It never has. I've never understood it.
Do we give too much credit to these people in Washington and think that they have these deep conspiracies, and the truth is they're just idiots?
I'm really starting to lean toward that. I think that is the truth.
That their intentions were to do good. And, well, you know, really, when you stop and think about it, a lot of liberal policies, their intentions are to, quote, do good, unquote. And as a result, they end up, you know, destroying things in the process. If you look at liberal policies here in the U.S., maybe that's just expanded to a global scale here. They thought, let's do good with Iran. If we throw enough money at them, they'll like us, or we can finally be friends. And, you know, I can leave my office after 8 years with a legacy other than, you know, I used to be a Nobel Peace Prize winner. So maybe that's the, you know, it's that liberal mindset to, quote, do good. But they want to force it on other people.
So you're
saying the liberal mindset, to force that do good idea on other people.
So are you saying that Obama was so obsessed with his legacy that he so desperately wanted to be known as the president who solved the Iranian nuclear crisis that he just gave them everything that you could imagine and didn't care what the deal really entailed, as long as the history book said it was Obama who settled the issue? Because he's going to go down in history as the biggest clown that's ever been on Pennsylvania Avenue. And if he thinks that helped his legacy, that destroyed his legacy.
What legacy does he have now? He doesn't have a legacy at all.
Hey, I want to talk about the Korean Peninsula before we take a break. A South Korean governor who is a leading candidate to become president of South Korea in the next election. His name is Governor Nam Young-pil. Said it's time that South Korea develop its own nuclear arsenal.
Right, that's a major shift for all of you new listeners out there.
Why?
Because it has traditionally been, South Korea is, you know, kind of taking the same stance as Japan to be very anti-nuclear. They would even fight nuclear power plants. I mean, they didn't want to have anything to do with it. So this is a major shift, and it's a big shift that's happened over this summer in Korea. It's really surprising, and I go on the Korean sites all the time. There are a lot of people protesting, but you don't see that in the media. There's a lot of people. There's been a group of people who have been protesting 24 hours a day in downtown Seoul since the 21st of July, and people praying and fasting in the city of Seoul that, you know, God would protect the nation of Korea, because I think that madness has started to infect other nations now. That bloodlust is now catching on to other people. I mean, it's like everybody wants to go to war.
One final story regarding the Middle East before we take a break. The law that the U.S. Congress passed and Obama vetoed, and then the Congress overrode the veto, the one that gave victims of the 9/11 attack the legal right to sue Saudi Arabia.
JASTA.
Well, guess what? Leading members of Congress have said, you know, now that we look at that law that we overrode Obama's veto, you know, Obama was right. That is a flawed law. And we're kind of sorry that we overrode his veto. And here's what we're going to do. After the election, after we are back in power and the voters can't get their hands on us for a couple of years, we're going to amend that law because our friends in Saudi Arabia are upset with us right now.
So let me get this straight. So they debated this law for 18 months, and they went back and forth with both houses of Congress, and they voted on the law, and they passed the law 97-1 in the Senate, and then sent it to Obama, and he vetoed it, and then all of a sudden it's flawed?
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure I heard that right.
Well, here are some of the quotes. Senate Majority Leader, Republican Leader Mitch McConnell said, "I do think it's worth further discussing." Wait a minute. You passed the law. Obama vetoed it. You overrode the veto. But now Senator McConnell says that law is worth further discussion. So they had to override the veto because they're up for reelection.
That's right.
They couldn't go back home and campaign and say, I stood up to those Saudis. No, they had to override the veto, and then they planned to gut the law after the voters put them back into power.
Oh, the good old Washington shuffle.
There it is. And what about that man of courage, the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan? Is he standing firm and saying, no, I'm against meddling with that law. We are standing up against the Saudis on behalf of the American people. Well, Paul Ryan said that the lame duck Congress may have to fix the legislation. And then...
they didn't get it right the first time?
They didn't get it right. And then Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, chairman of the Senate Council on Foreign Relations Committee. He's chairman of the CFR Committee. I mean, the Foreign Relations Committee, not the Council on Foreign Relations Committee. He said that the JASTA could be addressed in the Congress lame duck session after the November 8 election.
Translation, we'll work on it when we can't worry about losing our seats.
That's right. And guess who is doing the lobbying in Washington to undo this law on behalf of the Saudi Arabian government? None other than former Republican Senate Majority Leader Trent Lott, who happens to be a 33rd degree Freemason from Mississippi. Always count on those Republicans to take care of the Saudis. Or you can count on the Democrats to take care of the Saudis. You can just count on Washington to take care of the Saudi Arabians. Doesn't matter about the Americans. They take care of the Saudi Arabians. Saudi Arabia owns Washington. And they own Hillary Clinton.
So it really didn't matter what was in those 9/11 pages, did it?
Didn't really matter.
Fix was in.
Once again, they've played the American people for fools. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the election, tomorrow night's debate. We have some sound bites from Donald Trump today and some other discussions about the 2016 presidential election. You are listening to True News.
You're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast. Rick will return after this announcement. As you wait for Jesus to return, how are you investing your life? Here's a moment with Charles Stanley.
When I think about the coming of Jesus, I think about one of the most beautiful things he said. And he said it in one of the most comforting chapters in the entire Bible. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would tell you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you to myself. That is a promise of God. Just because the Lord has not come in all these years does not mean he's not coming. He makes promises, and his promises are going to come true. And here's what he said. He is coming, and we're to watch and to pray. And we're not only to be watchful, but we're to be working diligently. Because you see, the truth is, God left us here after he saved us for a couple of reasons. There are probably many, but let's just talk about two of them. One of them is that he wants us to grow spiritually now that he saved us. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, he says, we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to grow in our spiritual life, grow in oneness with him. Not only that, we are to be sharing the love of God through the atoning death of Jesus Christ at the cross in order to bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ. So let me ask you this. What do you think you'll be doing when Jesus comes? Would you be happy at any moment of your life for Jesus to come? Are there some things you'd like to straighten up before? Or let me ask you this. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Here's what Jesus said. He said, in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man will come. And so people who say, well, one of these days I'm going to get saved. One of these days I'm going to get serious about spiritual things. One of these days could be before this day is over. And I want to encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, to acknowledge your sinfulness, to look to Jesus as the Savior, to believe what He promised when He promised forgiveness of sins, when you and I accept Him as our personal Savior. And listen, then begin to get to work. That is, make your life count so that when He does come, you'll be waiting, you'll be watching, you'll be working, and you'll be happy to see Him when He comes.
To learn more about God's gift of salvation and living a fulfilling and satisfying life, go to intouch.org. Reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ, you're listening to True News, the End Time Newscast.
Welcome back to True News. I'm Rick Wiles. Doc Burkhardt, Edward Zoll, and Fiore Hernandez are here with me. We're going to talk about the 2016 presidential election in this segment of the program. Guys, you wait till you hear this story. This one is off the charts for crazy. According to a letter released today from the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Congressman Bob Goodlatte of Virginia, the FBI struck side agreements with Cheryl Mills and Heather Samuelson in Hillary Clinton's office that allowed them to destroy their laptops.
After the investigation.
Doesn't that make the FBI complicit in the crimes?
Of course it is. Yes, the FBI, listen, you know what the FBI has become? It's become the KGB of the old Soviet Union. The old KGB would announce that they were investigating some corrupt member of the Soviet Politburo. And then the evidence would disappear. And the Politburo member would be found not guilty. That's what the FSB would do. They would provide a fake investigation to keep the Russian people from getting too angry. And then they just whitewash it. That's what the FBI has become.
Weren't they already under immunity at that point?
Yeah.
They were under immunity. So does it matter what was on their laptops?
Well, yeah, because maybe a House investigative committee or a special prosecutor would subpoena these laptops.
I just don't understand how this
Comey should resign. Comey should be chased out of Washington. I mean, FBI Director Comey is a disgrace. He has no credibility. He needs to go.
I mean, if I had proof of a crime on my computer and I destroyed that computer, what would happen to me?
But the FBI is telling you to destroy it. Nothing's going to happen to you. Here's the way it goes, Doc. We're going to do a fake investigation. We're going to ask you some questions, but you won't be under oath. So if you lie to us, we're not going to put you in prison, but don't worry, we're not going to put anybody in prison. And when the investigation's over, we're going to let you go and your boss, Hillary Clinton, and then you can destroy all of the evidence so nobody else could come by and actually do a real investigation. That's what the FBI did. Comey needs to go. He should put a bag on his head and walk out of Washington in disgrace. The man is an embarrassment to the word justice. He's a political hack, and he has disgraced the FBI. And there really should be a revolt inside the FBI where the honest agents simply tell him to pack up and get out.
Well, they've started expressing their concerns, but what do you do in a controled system like that? Where if you speak out against authority, you get,
hopefully, Doc, a President Trump will launch an investigation of Comey. Comey needs to be investigated for corruption. That's what needs to happen.
Oh, I agree with
you. The Trump administration needs to start an investigation of the FBI director for corruption.
And Loretta Lynch. And Jay Johnson.
By the way, I've never mentioned it. I've been wanting to do it for a couple of weeks. the CIA director. He admitted a couple weeks ago that he voted for the Communist Party.
Oh, yes.
When he was a young man, he made a mistake, and he voted for the Communist Party for Gus Hall. He voted for Gus Hall for president of the United States. How does somebody who was a communist end up as the director of the CIA? Oh, I understand. He's appointed by a communist president, Barack Obama. That's how it happens.
This comes from the same John Brennan that we got the rumors that he may have converted to Islam also during his foreign tours overseas in Middle Eastern countries. Have you heard those two?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. We had the FBI agent, John Guandalo, on the program. He's the one who broke the story.
Right.
Yeah, so that came out of true news that Brennan had converted to Islam secretly in Riyadh.
That they had seen him on a prayer rug in his office and everything.
Well, he was in Mecca, and no non-Muslim is allowed to step foot in Mecca.
That's right.
Well, the congressman is asking questions. Why did the FBI agree to destroy Cheryl Mills's and Heather Samuelson's laptop? Doesn't the willingness of Ms. Mills and Ms. Samuelson to have their laptops destroyed by the laptops were destroyed by the FBI? They didn't just say, the FBI didn't say, oh, we don't care what you do with these laptops after this. No, the FBI destroyed the laptops. Doesn't the fact that the FBI allowed them to be destroyed contradict their claim that the laptops could have been withheld because they contain non-relevant privileged information? Please explain why the Department of Justice agreed to limit their search on the Mills and Samuelson laptops to a date no later than January 31st, 2015. There are no words to describe outrage. There are no words. If the American people do not get their act together and seize control of this government, you and your children and your grandchildren will live in an oligarchy. We're already in an oligarchy, where a handful of wealthy, powerful, elite people rule the government. Two sets of laws, two court systems, two sets of justice, one for the elite, one for the people. That's where we're at right now. This is the last chance to take back the country. This is it. This is the last chance. We are in an oligarchy where the people with power and money can commit the most outrageous crimes, and law enforcement winks and says, nothing, nothing to see here, folks. But if an average citizen breaks the slightest law, they go to prison. You can have a SWAT team come into your house, kick your door down.
But since you look at the cycles, this reminds us a lot of the Dark Ages, of how it used to work under a feudalistic system. You want a lord or an aristocrat or a king, you could get away with literally any form of murder, taking people's wives, children.
This is where we're at, Edward. When Hillary Clinton gets away with these kind of crimes, remember what it said was, there is nothing now that anybody in power and authority, there's nothing that they can do that they will be held responsible. They can commit any crime.
So what can we do to expose this? I mean, there are attempts to, you know, release emails and everything to show that there was this communication that took place. But
well, the evidence, there's so much evidence out there. There's nothing even more to talk about. There should have been an uprising a year ago.
Yeah, this is past judicial. It comes down to the core that the system itself is rotten.
But I think in some way, the protesters at Hillary rallies supporting Donald Trump. I think in some way, and you will hear in the story ahead, that they are reflecting that in their sentiment and in their interviews. They feel like it's time for a revolution. It's a time for a change and a time to speak up. And they're saying precisely what we're talking about here.
Well, at a rally in Fort Pierce, Florida, last Friday, the number of anti-Hillary protesters from all walks of life was impressive. Our True News correspondent, Fior Hernandez, tells us so many of them say that they've had enough with the status quo and for years feeling voiceless.
Thank you so much.
Hillary Clinton, former First Lady, Senator, Secretary of State, and much closer to being President of the United States today than when she first ran back in 2008, was welcomed by a large number of supporters in Fort Pierce, eagerly waiting to see her.
Very exciting, and let's hope everybody votes.
That is precisely what Donald Trump supporters hope also. About 150 of them showed up in front of the Sunrise Theater. Chants echoed through the streets of downtown loudly. Each protester seemed to want their personal story heard above the rest.
The establishment is Hillary Clinton, the people are Donald Trump. And that's what's out there today.
Yes, you did. I'm from the streets. If I did something bad, I've been locked up. If I smashed the phone, that means I did something wrong. Come on, you all gotta rise up.
Romeo John shared that he doesn't trust Hillary Clinton to be president and judges her character based on his own life experiences and run-ins with the law. Although he cannot vote because of his criminal record, he still feels protesting is the best way for him to be part of this historic election. He supports Donald Trump.
He see what we see. He see what the problem is. It's not me killing that we need jobs. If we don't have jobs, what do you think we're going to do? If we come out of prison and we don't get a good, nice, paying job, what do you think we're going to do? We're going to go back to the same old thing.
John professes to be involved in the Black Lives Matter movement, but assures he does not condone violence in any way. Critics may find his choice for president contradictory to what the movement stands for, but Romeo says he agrees with what Trump has said in support of the law and police departments across the nation.
We have to bring back law and order.
Black and black crime is bad. The crime is bad. If our country right now is under so much terrorist watch right now, right? I want a guy who will stand up for our country. Because why? Because it is for real. We are getting threats every day right now. I have been safe in my own country. I don't make me safe in my country. And I think Donald Trump will be the black. Why? Because he can put on the law. We need laws. We need justice in the ghetto. And we kill one another every day.
Historically, in politics, gender and race play a role. But in the battle for the White House between Clinton and Trump, these factors have been visibly polarizing in some regions of the country. Mark Gott says there is only one person to blame.
Barack Obama was supposed to be elected to bring race together. He has been the biggest divider of race.
What do you think are some of the specific things that are his
to the police every time they do anything against someone who's white.
All of us as Americans should be troubled by these shootings because these are not isolated incidents. They're symptomatic of a broader set of racial disparities that exist in our criminal justice system.
The federal government has no business being in state policing. States are sovereign. This country was built by the states, not by the federal government.
One protester who perhaps should be one of the most upset at Trump sees the opportunity to speak to us with passion.
He's telling you the truth, and you know what? The truth hurts a lot of times, but it's the truth. Illegal immigrants are coming, and it's messing us over. Okay? Maybe he doesn't address it the way that people like it, you know, to be addressed, but we got to get over that crap. You know, it's the truth.
We either have a country or we don't. We need a border. We need a wall. We have to stop the inflow of illegals coming into our country. It has to be stopped. It has to be stopped now.
I'm Mexican. My parents came here illegally back in 1982. All right? And they started their life here. Now they're legal citizens and everything. We did the whole process the way that you're supposed to do it. And because of them, I was lucky enough to be blessed to be born in this great nation. I'm trying to let everybody know that it's not what the media is trying to make it seem to be. This isn't a race war. This isn't
isn't about Trump being against Mexicans. It's about Trump trying to get this country headed in the right direction the way it should be. And we need to be number one just like we always have been. We've been falling back and falling back for the past 8 years. We've been going through hell in this country. It's affecting everybody. I'm not worried about it for the right now. I'm worried about for my kids, our future, or their future.
Luna justifies the candidate of choice.
Say some stupid things at times, but who doesn't? You know, he's not a speaker. He's not up there at a podium all the time the way that she is.
As October 9th fast approaches and Americans brace themselves for the second presidential debate, many just want to see and hear substance.
We left the debate not hearing anything about emails or paper play or, you know, all these other issues. She talked about, you know, her economic plan is making college free. Okay, well, let's follow that through to the end. What happens because we have a bunch of college-educated kids who are now out in the workforce? How does that help the economy? Yes, we have educated kids, but if they're unemployed, does it make a difference?
Clinton supporters like Cindy Anatella say they are very satisfied with her first debate performance, advising that she stays the course.
Do exactly what she did in the first debate. I thought she was amazing. She was prepared, and she knows what she wants to do.
Clinton may have been prepared for that first debate, but something her campaign wasn't prepared for in Fort Pierce was to receive all of the supporters that came out.
Disappointed because we got our ticket online and filled out our forms, but it looks like we're not going to be able to get in.
Some people were saying why the camp chose such a small venue. They were expecting such a good turnout for the campaign. I mean, just what would you say to them?
Well, I'm assuming it's because we're in Fort Pierce, and I'm assuming there's security issues, and who knows? But we're very happy to be here anyway.
At the Trump rally, I waited for 2.5 hours to get in, and I got there at 4:30. I got through the doors at 7:01.
Supporters on both sides visibly present at the rallies. But will they show up on November 8th?
The people are responsible to take their government back, and the only way they're going to do that is at the polls. So they have to turn out and vote.
I think things will be much different post-election if Donald Trump is elected. I hope that's the case. I think that regardless, there's going to need to be a tremendous amount of healing in this nation. This is a very divided nation, and short of splitting it in two and turning it into two countries and letting the left go on one half, live their values, and the right on the other half, we have to live together.
Through the chant, noise. One unlikely couple.
You don't know each other?
Nope. Nope.
You just met here?
Yep.
But you're not yelling at each other?
No.
What?
We appreciate our differences.
We love our country, we love our state, and we enjoy the political process. That's what America's about.
And that's what makes America great.
Absolutely.
So both of you are very well aware that after November 8th, one of the two will
sure.
be the president of the United States.
Yes, ma'am.
Right?
Obviously.
What if it's Trump?
If it's Trump, then I'm going to have to grin and bear it. That's what America's about. We don't always get what we want.
If it's Hillary, I really hate the thought of standing in a medical line. I mean, look what our vets are having to deal with right now. And if we are dealing with an immigration situation that we cannot handle in this country, healthcare is a real big concern.
Well, the big debate tomorrow night is the vice presidential candidates, Governor Pence and Senator Kaine. We'll face off tomorrow night in a live televised debate. It's the only debate between the vice presidential candidates in this campaign. And then next week, Hillary Clinton will meet Donald Trump once again for the second debate. Did anybody see the video of Mrs. Clinton in New Hampshire last week with Bernie Sanders?
Oh, and the comments she made about millennials, or?
Well, she didn't make the comments there. That got leaked out. That was a recording from earlier in the year during the primaries where she said that the Bernie Sanders supporters were living in basements with their parents' basements. By the way, Bernie Sanders has canceled his joint appearances with Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
That was quietly announced today that there's been a change in the schedule and Bernie Sanders would not be appearing on stage with Hillary Clinton.
Well, it's funny because her speech today, she actually quoted my friend Bernie Sanders. Maybe she meant her comrade, maybe? Or...
No, she's in trouble. Sanders obviously is miffed and doesn't want to go out on the campaign trail with her right now. What I was talking about when she appeared with him in New Hampshire last week at the university, I saw video of it. You know, sometimes you look at these videos and you think, okay, has this video been doctored? Is this real or has this video been altered? She was clapping. I'll just say she was clapping like a seal. I don't know what else to say. She clapped like, I mean, if somebody would have thrown her a fish, she would have caught it in her mouth. She was sitting on the stage clapping like a seal. It was strange. It really was bizarre. I mean, it wasn't just like one or two claps. It was like, woman, you're not quite together mentally. There's something, you got some neurological wires that aren't firing right. You're sitting on the stage of a university running for president and you're clapping like a seal.
Right. It reminds you of the onstage intervention that U.S. Secret Service agent Todd Madison basically had to do for Hillary Clinton. He came up to her and said, keep talking, keep talking. And it's, again, what you're kind of touching on here is the neurological.
It was worse than her barking. Remember when she did the barking?
Yes.
And it was almost as weird as the head bobbing thing she did last month. It was strange. It's like this woman is having very serious neurological problems. And I don't know how many people call it. Well, I'll tell you right here. I've got here on my phone. Okay, so, this is out of the London papers. They were talking about it in London.
Right, I'm looking at the Sun right now, so...
I mean, it went around the world. People were looking at the video of Hillary Clinton clapping like a seal. Tomorrow, possibly tomorrow, if it happens, WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange is going to make a big announcement. He was going to do it originally from the balcony of the Ecuadorian embassy in London, but it was suddenly canceled because possibly... Julian may have thought there may be a sniper on a rooftop in London.
He didn't want to die of lead poisoning.
You got it. Lead poisoning in the forehead.
Right.
And we're quite serious. This guy has the potential of bringing down this entire regime. And I believe he may be in possession of evidence that could justify an international tribunal arresting American politicians.
I think it's either going to be a big letdown or it's going to be the largest leak in the history of digital media.
Well, we've been expecting an October surprise. So is this it? Anybody want to speculate? Do you think it's going to be a big let down, or do you think it's going to be the October surprise?
Well, to be honest, I'm always the one to say, well, I don't want to get my hopes up and then nothing happens.
You mean like would the day that FBI Director Comey read the indictment and then said nobody would file this indictment?
And when we were preparing for the first presidential debate. So you kind of just work your way up and say, okay, something big's going to happen and then it doesn't. But I do hope because I like truth and I would love to see it and I would love to hear it.
If Assange does release something tomorrow, what do you think it will be?
I think it's going to be something related to ISIS and the arming and training of this jihadist cell that we now know from various other sources has more than a small connection to the U.S. and the Pentagon.
Or from my perspective, I was thinking it could be a direct link between the Obama White House and the Clinton email server, that they had full knowledge of it. I mean, we've got a shadow of it already because Barack Hussein Obama used a fake email address and handle, but you know.
But, Doc, what if that came out? What would anybody do?
Well,
would the FBI go over to the White House and arrest Barack Obama? No. They'd help him destroy his server.
I guess my question would be, what would have to come out in order for some action, some serious action to be taken?
Well, that's a good question, Theor. I mean, how extreme does the corruption have to get before you can get somebody arrested?
I think it has to erode international faith. That's what the information would have to direct to. It would have to be something that erodes both economic and military faith in the U.S.
I agree. It has to be so staggering that leaders of other nations gasp. And then there are calls for an international prosecutor to investigate and bring charges against American politicians.
Well, I'll tell you, something that leans me toward that it may be something big is the time that this is being released is 03 in the morning Eastern for Florida, for us. So it's going to be, for anybody waking up, morning editors, it will be, if it's big, will be the first thing in all papers and all outlets in the U.S.
That means I got to set my alarm.
I think my phone will be buzzing at 3:01.
That's what I'm thinking. Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Doc, I'll just sleep, and if it's big, you text me.
Okay. I'll be up. I'm going to be live tweeting this.
Edward doesn't sleep.
All right, Edward, you text me if it's really big, and I'll get up. So this is being released in Berlin by video. He's doing it by video conference.
Yes, he's video conferencing into Berlin, but he's doing it at 09 British Standard Time. So from the Ecuadorian embassy. And that means for us, it's going to be 03.
Well, if he does release something about Obama and Clinton and John Kerry arming ISIS, it definitely is going to impact tomorrow night's debates.
Sure.
But it would be that would be headline news worldwide, but the cat would be out of the bag. I mean, what else can you hide at that point?
But and I'll channel Hillary Clinton. What difference will it make with the American people?
It may not make any difference here, but as Edward said, it's the international reaction.
And that's what we talk about, the formation of the Eurasian Alliance. It just takes a little to force some of these countries who are already on the fence about continuing an economic relationship with the United States. This could force them into the Eurasian sphere with China and Russia.
But why doesn't truth make a difference in this country? I think gossip sometimes gets further than the truth.
Ah, she's got it.
I mean, really, that's how I feel.
That's a very good point. And I was just getting ready to bring up Bill Clinton's love child. And now I feel bad about it.
Well, Pastor, I think some say that there are some facts to support this.
Well, this was the next story. Now I don't know if I want to read it. There's a 30-year-old man who claims Bubba is his daddy. Is anybody going to discuss it, or will this just be another Clinton story that gets swept under the rug?
Interesting enough, about a month ago, a source came to us with this story. It was actually run in the Boston Globe. One of those, they call them tabloids, but we've discussed that the Inquirer and the Globe are breaking international news daily now. But we looked at it. I looked into this. There is no evidence, hard evidence. But again, I think it's definitely something that could be plausible based on Bill Clinton's record.
You know, you can order a $99 DNA test online.
Yeah, I'll pay for it.
So,
yeah, if Bill Clinton will give his DNA sample and the young man give his, I'll pay for it. And then it's solved. We'll know for certain.
His middle name is Jefferson.
That's true. That's true. That may be his Jeffersonian moment. But what Theor said is very correct.
He's right.
The American people seem to be moved by gossip. Like, they're more worked up about Kim Kardashian being robbed than about themselves being robbed. They've been robbed of their nation. They've been robbed of their heritage. That doesn't bother them. But they're caught up into trivial.
Preach it. Come on.
Yeah.
It goes into what we already mentioned at the beginning of the program, the matrix. People are living in this like a trivial celebrity matrix in the United States.
I can't begin to tell you how upset I was this morning when the alert came through that breaking news. And it was that. And I had to be at the airport at 4 in the morning.
And the breaking news was
Kim Kardashian being held. I just wanted to just scream. Really, it was just before prayer time, so I took it to the Lord.
Did you? If you're one of these days, I'm just going to, True News is going to do an entire program on trivia. We're just going to be like, we're going to go mainstream for one day, and our lead story will be...
Whatever the lead story is out there.
We're just going to do it for one day to see what it feels like to be absolutely worthless and just waste time. Pretending that you're reporting. Let's talk about, the continuing accusations that the Russians are going to hack into the American voting system. This is giving the FBI and Homeland Security the cover story to seize control of all of the election boards throughout America. The city and county and state election boards are going to come under the control of Homeland Security and the FBI, just like the KGB in the good old days of the Soviet Union.
Well, Jay Johnson is fighting to make the election process itself a critical asset here in the country, just like the electrical grid, just like the water supply. He's fighting for that in this process, and it must be protected the same way.
Well, here's the FBI director, for what it's worth, talking about hackers poking around in the American election system.
Any hacking is something we take very seriously. Any hacking in connection with this nation's election system is something we take extraordinarily seriously, the whole of government. And so it is something the FBI is spending a lot of time on right now to try and understand. So what are they up to and what does it involve and what's the scope of it to equip the president? To decide upon the appropriate response. These are the voter registration systems. This is very different than the vote system in the United States, which is very, very hard for someone to hack into because it's so clunky and dispersed. It's Mary and Fred putting a machine under the basketball hoop at the gym. Those things are not connected to the internet, but the voter registration systems are. So we urge the states to make sure you have the most current information and your systems are tight because there's no doubt that some bad actors have been poking around.
Bad actors.
Yeah, the bad actors are in Washington. Those are the ones I don't trust with the election results. This next segment is from ABC News this week. Pierre Thomas and George Stephanopoulos.
Yes.
Talking about those Russian hackers.
Obviously, interference in the U.S. election process is a very, very serious matter.
We are doing an awful lot of work through our counterintelligence investigators to understand just what mischief is Russia up to in connection with our election.
James Comey, John Brennan this week on Russian interference in our election. Could they be hacking our voting system? I want to talk about that now with our expert panel and begin with our Chief Justice Correspondent, Pierre Thomas, down in Washington this morning. What exactly do U.S. officials know right now about this involvement?
George, Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson has released a statement acknowledging what my sources have been calling an unprecedented level of hacking targeting this presidential election cycle. In that statement, Johnson confirms that malicious cyber actors have been scanning a large number of state systems and that those actors in a few cases gain access to state voting related systems. We first reported that voter registration databases in 20 states have been targeted by hackers and that they actually got into the networks of four states. The hackers poked around and likely copied information, but according to our sources in Johnson, they were not able to manipulate or change voter rolls. But George, the primary suspects, hackers tied to the highest levels of Russian government.
So what would the Russian government, why would they be doing this is the question.
We have two answers. One is just another form of identity theft to potentially make money through fraud. But the deeper concern is that the Russians may have been trying to sow discord or doubt, in short, to make Americans feel uneasy about the outcome of the election. And while officials are less concerned that individual voting machines could be hacked, since most are not connected to the internet, the mere threat of hackers tampering with voter registration information is deeply concerning. George, imagine if in a battleground state, There were questions about the voter eligibility of thousands of citizens.
And the officials are so sure, or pretty sure, that Russia is behind it, yet they refuse to say so publicly and formally.
The main reason, George, is that there is concern that it would be seen as helping the Hillary campaign. But also there's concern that if you call them out publicly, what do you do next? What's your next move? How far do you escalate?
I'm telling you, folks, they're setting the stage to nullify a Trump landslide.
Yep.
They're going to say, we all know that Donald Trump did not win the election.
It was those dirty Russians.
Those Russians, they rigged the election and made it look like people voted for Donald Trump. We're going to have to cancel this election and have another one and try again until they elect Hillary.
Until we get it right.
Well, they can set the stage, but if they don't have an actual performance, the crowd is going to throw tomatoes.
You got it. Unless they start a world war before the election. Now, what evidence do they have that it's the Russians? How do we know it's not hackers paid by George Soros?
Well,
do they have the evidence? Let's listen to another episode of ABC This Week. This is Adam Schiff talking about the mountain of evidence they have linking the hacking to the Russians.
And what Trump has been doing actually has been the most tremendous gift to Russian propaganda by coming out as he did during the debate saying, could be Russia, could be China, could be a 400-pound man. That's exactly what Russia wants
to do. You have no doubt this is Russia.
I have no doubt. And I don't think the administration has any doubt. It's not a question of evidence. It is a question, I think, for the administration of, do they do more than name and shame? What are the repercussions? Are they playing into the Russian hands by sowing doubt? But the fact is, the Americans already see the meddling. And I think it would be far worse if there is a problem with the election, and only after the election does the administration tell the American people, yes, the Russians were doing this, and we knew it all along.
Yeah, how much
evidence do they have?
Well, Pastor Rick, it's not a question of evidence.
It's not a question of evidence. He said, without a doubt, I know it's the Russians, but it's not a question of evidence. They have no evidence.
That's right.
They're setting the stage to nullify a Trump landslide.
He also said something else that was true in there, too. He said the American people know that there's meddling in the electoral process. And he's right. They do know. But it ain't the Russians.
Yes, 2008 and 2012 in the state of Ohio.
And to be fair, we would look at this objectively. We're not here to really push either side in a sense. We're looking for where the facts show that the case has not been made to the American public that the Russians, the Chinese, I mean, the evidence is actually pointing toward our own government, our own NSA, if we were being objective with this.
It's frightening to think that Homeland Security would be in control of our elections. I mean, the country's over. If we allow Homeland Security to take control of our voting, it's over. Just wrap it up. It's done. It's over. There's no country remaining. The American people cannot allow Homeland Security to seize control of our elections.
So, Pastor, what can the American people do to protect their vote? Like, I was talking to Edward a couple of weeks ago, and I asked, I know that it's illegal to take a selfie when you're voting, but wouldn't that serve as proof of who you voted for?
No, they won't let you take a selfie. A lot of states have laws against taking pictures inside polling places. But you can't, no, what the American people are going to have to do is very unpleasant, and few Americans have the backbone to do it.
What?
You're going to have to go in the streets and shut the country down until the thugs and the thieves get on jetliners and flee to Argentina. That's what you have to do. You need to chase them out. There needs to be a revolt in the land, not against the Constitutional Republic, a revolt against corruption. My enemies are never going to catch me on the radio calling for a revolution against the government. I will never do that. There is nothing wrong with the Constitutional Republic of the United States of America, Amen. The greatest government ever created in the history of the world. What's wrong is the corrupt regime that seized control of it and has perverted it. And the American people are going to have to get serious and stand up and do what the people in Eastern Europe did. And they shut down the communist government. And those countries were set free. And it was the church.
That's right.
It was the church that did it.
That's right.
The pastors were the ones who organized the revolt. It was a peaceful revolt. The millions of people went into the streets, and then the communist dictators resigned because they knew the game was over.
Well, Pastor, when we're running into situations where in the state of Oregon it becomes the first state to approve after-school satanic clubs, and I'm contacting about 20 churches in the state asking for an interview to react to this, or if they're going to take any action. If they're not acting then, even to pick up the phone and call True News, then can we count on them for something to this level?
No. No. There's going to have to be a revolt in the churches.
That's where their first revolution has to take place.
First one's got to start in the church. You're going to have to chase out some weasel cowards that are in robes standing behind pulpits. I call them pulpit ornaments.
Shouldn't talk bad about weasels like that.
I know. So. But there is a time when you just have to clean house.
Yes.
And that time is now. If you're unwilling to stand for what's right, then get out of the way. But folks, this is life and death. It really is. You're sentencing your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to slavery. Your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will not live in a free country if you don't do something now.
And
we're at the edge of the cliff at this point.
And as much as I respect those that fight for the patriot side of things, the America First and everything, they need to understand we cannot preserve this constitutional republic without the moral backbone of a godly church.
That's right.
They go hand in hand.
You got it. When these people talk to me, these conservative patriots, we got to get back to the Constitution. We got to return to the founding documents. Well, no, we got to return. The church needs to first return to the founding documents of the church.
Yes.
If you want the country to get back to the Constitution, then the church has got to get back to what the church was at the time the Constitution was written.
Yes.
That was the
environment it was birthed in.
That's right. I could do a whole program just on that sentence right there. But we are out of time. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you. We will see you tomorrow.